just had a picture of Jesus above the earth that he's created as the Savior and the Lord of this realm. And I believe the Lord is saying that I am coming and I am coming soon. And you are called to hail me, for I am holy. I am holy. I am holy. And I want my lost bride to come home, my lost bride to be brought back, to be brought into wholeness, to be brought into my family. So repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Believe, believe, and all will belong to you. So Jesus, I believe that you're saying that you're here with us today, and you're calling us higher. You're calling us to yourself. But you're saying, turn away from anything that would preclude you from knowing me, from hearing me, from receiving from me, from being able to step in. Turn away and come. Turn away and come. Turn away and come. So with these words, I want to sing that, Darlene, this last time. All hail King Jesus. And if you're not on your feet, unless you're down bowing down before Jesus, if you're sitting in your seat, stand up as we hail our King Jesus. I'm asking you to do that for the sake of the Lamb's reward. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Bow down or stand up. Shakaramana. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, hail King Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus. We thank you, Lord. You are so easy to worship when we put our hearts behind the worship, Lord. Then you energize it with your Holy Spirit, and we're changed in your presence. We aren't the same as when we started to worship. If we'll just apprehend that by faith, we're different because we've been in your presence, worshiping you as King, worshiping you as high above every other person. Lord God, we worship you from our hearts. We give all of our hearts to worship of you today, Lord, and it will change us. Father, you receive the worship. You're glorified in the worship, but we're changed. You can't be changed. You're always the same. But Lord, we are changed. I said, we are changed. Lord, we are changed in your presence. Let it happen. Let it happen. Let strongholds fall and be broken. Lord, completely transform us, God, in your presence. Do we have the faith for that? You give it to us. We just receive it, Lord. We just receive it that we can be different. All addictions fall. All strongholds fall. Everything that's a besetting sin just crashes, Lord. In your presence, we value you. And so we don't value idols, Lord. We value you, so we don't value something that's less than you, Lord. God, change us. Transform us in this moment. Lord, let it last. Not be temporary. Not be short-lived. Let it last. Let it last. Let the fruit remain. Let the fruit remain. Let the fruit remain, Lord God. We bless you that you're powerful enough to do it in us. If we'll receive it. If we'll receive it and quit trying. Just quit trying. Quit trying and receive it. Victory. Freedom. Absolute turnaround and change in our hearts. Transformation. God, resurrection, Lord, in us. Let us receive it. Let us receive it in this moment, this quiet moment with you, this intimate moment with you. Let us receive what you're trying to speak into us. It's not just us shouting out and praising out in worship. You're speaking to us. You're changing us from the inside out. Holy Spirit, you're in there in dunamis power, and you are fired up today to change us. Let anything less fall away, fall by the wayside. Let us go for the more, the better, the greater, the higher. Here we are, God. We're just children. We're learning, but we have no excuses. When powerful Holy Spirit is active inside of us, activate all your names. Activate your dunamis power. Let it be dynamite inside of us. And then we can change the world. Just a few of us can change the world. Jesus. Jesus. If we would just get on your page. Let's just turn to your page. Jump on your page. We'll be totally different because we'll be looking into your eyes and we won't be able to go back to the less than. We'll only be able to press in for the more than. Yes, God. Here we are. Here we are before you, Lord. Jesus. This isn't church. This is worship. Beyond churchy stuff. It's worship of you, you and me. Me and you, one-on-one, face-to-face, we're transformed, we're changed. We rise up in courage, rise up in boldness, rise up in faith, because you're providing the spring of living water we need to do those things. And you will smooth out the path before us and take out the rough places. You will take out, extract the fear. You will extract the fear. You will extract the fear from us, Lord, that our hearts are filled with courage, not fear. Yes, Lord. We press into that today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
The word today that I'm hearing is that the Lord is looking for union. He's looking for union. He's looking for union. He's looking for our hearts being united to His. And out of that union, out of that intimacy, the Lord will be able to trust us to bring nations, to be able to stop for the one, to be able to minister to the one, to be able to see the one, to be able to hear the cries of our Father's heart, the cries of Jesus. As He transforms us in these very moments. Our Jesus, we've sung to today, our Jesus who is here, is looking to remove every chain that would bind us from freely worshiping Him or feeling stuck, acting stuck, where we can't move. It's not Jesus. And He's saying, I will give you eyes to see that I'm making those changes today. There's a picture that was seen in the spirit. You can stay up. You don't have to move. Still, the Lord's here. There's a picture that was seen in the spirit earlier, just several days ago, that you may think, ew, but I want to show it to you. It's a black, big, jagged cliff that protrudes out of the sea that was seen in the spirit. It's like, well, that's not Jesus. Yeah, it's true. But when you're a friend of Jesus, when you're intimate with the Lord, He'll show you how great His love is and what He accomplished, okay? What He saw or what He sees and what He accomplished at the cross and the resurrection to actually obliterate this picture. If someone can help with that picture to get that up. Andy, can you facilitate over here? I want you to see it. You can flip the lights off. Because in this very moment, when you see this, I want you to know that this can be a picture of things that rise up from what seems like nowhere, that seem impenetrable, that seem impossible, that seem unable to be moved, that produce in us hopelessness, that give a place in our lives for fear to hang out and stay, maybe originating at this place. And I believe right now that as we're in the presence and hearing these words from Papa Bill here, and what Darlene had put on her heart, and everyone was singing, the Lord is so graciously showing up as the Lion of Judah, is showing up here in a way that you think, oh yeah, He does that when we get into high worship. Isn't that cool? I'm telling you that right now, there is a place in the Spirit. He's saying, come, come, notice what I can see, and I will give you eyes to see, not just for you, but for the nations, not just for your family, not just looking and saying, well, yeah, I can see that in somebody else, but saying, Lord, may it never be, may it not be. Okay, may it not be. This was seen in the spirit during high prayer, meaning going into the courts of heaven, going into the courts of heaven, going into the courts of heaven. I want you all to look at this. And true compassion of Jesus is not trying to make somebody feel good. Okay, the true compassion is, look what the enemy tries to do. Our Jesus is bigger. And if this resonates with anyone, let me suggest to any of us that our will is so strong. And the word of the Lord was, the will inside of us needs to become soft and pliable for King Jesus to say, when you speak to this mountain, it shall be removed. It shall be brought down. It shall be cast into the sea. You will have those things that you say, and they shall come to pass, because you know me, and you know that I am the lion and I am the lamb, and because I am faithful and true, and I keep my word. It's not an emotional moment. It's a moment of truth. And before we go on, this was just in my heart this morning about 10 o'clock, actually. Before we go on, I want you to look at this and imagine something rising up, and you're worshiping the Lord, but you still feel stuck. You still feel like I'm moving through sludge. I don't feel fully on board, fully free, and our King is here. I just want to pray right now before we go on, because many times these types of obstacles really involve our will. Well, I think I said no. I think I don't like this anymore. I think I hate sin. I think I am going forward. But the truth of the matter is, unless this is attacked by the Lion of Judah and comes down, we'll continue in our circle, going round and round and round. And maybe someday it'll be okay, we think. But God says, if you want to be transformed in my presence, give me your will. This is for every person in this house who has come to Jesus recently or has walked with Jesus a long, long time. Because fear inside will say, don't do that. Fear inside will say, listen, this is, you're on your own journey. Close your ears to this. Please don't do that. It's not about the messenger. And Jesus says, take a look at this. Give me your will. Let me come in and begin to bring this down. You want to clean up a mess in your heart or your life? This needs to come down. Okay? It's not just part of your soul. It's not just something you memorize. I know what the soul is. Mind, will, and emotions. Yep. I'm on a journey. The Lord says, look what I see that has come to hurt you. And maybe it has been something from long ago. Maybe it has been something from your family past. Maybe it is something current right now. But the Lord says, look what I see. And it's not of you. It's not to be there. And I came for all chains to set every captive free. But I need your will, so that your yes will be quick. You will be so quick to say yes, so quick to repent, so quick to follow me, so quick to say, what do you say about this? I'm telling you, the Lord will do something supernatural on your behalf right now. Take a look at that. Could it be? Could it be? Could it be that the purity of heart that the Lord says, I know you want that. I know you want deeper. I know that. But it's going to involve your will. And it's going to involve you. It's going to involve me. So if you're willing, I'm going to pray. Join in with me, because it might be a scary place. In fact, you might be shaking inside going, no, let me do something else. We've had a really good Christmas morning, almost Christmas season morning, right? Or in Christmas season. But I believe the Lord is speaking to you, and I believe he's speaking to me, and he's saying, I want your will. I want your will. I want the softness of your heart. I want you to be able to step forward. So when I say, jump in the fire, let's go. It's time for those who want burning hearts to arise. It's time for those who want to walk in continual fire to arise. It's time for the harvesters to arise. It's time for those to hear my call for the broken, the hurting, and the lost. My call to the nations. It's time. And I believe that God will start to recapture some things inside of all of us, where we'll be able to recognize when we're singing with just kind of a half-heartedness, and when the lid comes off and the worship arises and the Lord says, this is sweet smelling to my nostrils. When I was in the back when worship was going so beautiful, God bless you, but I heard Darlene is to speak. Darlene is to declare. Darlene is to pray. Pray for her to rise right now. I said, yes, Lord. What is she to say? He gave me an idea, just what she did. This is not me telling her to do something. It's the Lord of God saying, the Lord of hosts saying, rise up. It's time. Rise up and the worship will rise. And it will ignite something, even on this worship team. And others will step in to more of who they are. Everyone, everyone in this place. And this is how we'll begin worship and end worship for the rest of our days, more and more. Let this be a moment in time where a line is drawn in the sand. If you see this, let God show you. Let God arise and enemies be scattered. So if this is what you want for a surrender of will, which is, you know, the greatest freedom that we're given, right? Whatever you want, but we say, your will be done. The Lord says, give me your will. Watch what I do. Give me your will. I don't want to see your hands, but I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask you for all eyes to be closed. And if you want this in your life, it's a tender moment. Close your eyes and raise both hands to heaven. Everyone. Children, adults, if you want to surrender completely your will to the King of Kings. Father, with all eyes closed in this place, Lord, we give you our will. We give our wills to you, Jesus. We surrender and give ourselves, our will to you. Simple. Unadulterated transformation where we give, we choose to receive your drawing and give you control over our will to be surrendered, where somehow in your economy you still allow us to choose, but yet we so desire you that we say, I want to be possessed by you. I want to be overtaken by you. I want to be completely transformed by you. And I give you access so that I can be led by you, controlled by you, Spirit of God. And Father, whatever strong man has been there, Father, even if we don't see it, God, I give you access. I give you my mind, my will, my emotions, my body. I present myself to you and I give up control so that I can be controlled by heaven. And the very choices I will make will be desires that are from heaven, as I will understand more and more what it means to be conformed to the likeness of your Son, which involves pure obedience to your word, to your way, to your heart. I will do anything for you. I will allow you to rearrange my predisposition to do and act certain ways. I ask you to unlock the areas within my will that would shake my head no, no. And now I say yes. I give it to you. And every wicked thing that has come down through my family line that I have not seen affecting me or have not been willing to see affecting me. Bringing us into greater depths of what real repentance looks like, that produces godly sorrow. Forgive us today for not allowing you to take over our soul in this area, God. Thank you, Jesus. Forgive us, shake us. Forgive us, shake us. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We surrender control, our choices, our decisions. We will speak and be led by you first. Say, what do you say? What do you do? And our wills will match up with your will. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't know what the Lord was going to do with that. He just told me to put it up there. And what was seen actually in the spirit was a bit darker, with jagged edges from long ago coming up, taking root out of the sea, but really there. It's time. Isn't this exciting? Amen. Before the children leave, there are some things we want to show them and all of us that are really fun. And one is, and I haven't seen this yet, but this is a segment from a deliverance in Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. And this is the country, first country that we went to back in November, just a few weeks ago. And in this segment, Andy's going to pull it up, just ask some folks to see if they could find it. We had just finished a couple days of really cool ministry, and we went to a village we had never been to before. Remember, this is the first time in this country, so it was really like, hello, here we are, we're in. And we just thank God for his ways. But when we went to, hello, it's okay. But when we went to this village, and there were many salvations, healings, and deliverances, which is cool, it was really, really strong and powerful, and we were invited to go to a young man's house, teenager, I believe, who was literally, apparently, not going to make it. He was so ill, so sick, and there wasn't an understanding, really, at that time, prior to us getting there, of what was going on. So when you go into a place and say, wow, there's somebody sick on the floor, this is not looking good. And you ask Jesus, what's going on? And then you hear him, and he tells you. So we did. We asked him, and he told us. So we were able to do something. And we'll explain it as we go along. I don't know how long it is or what it is. What? It's a little second of each of the clips. Okay. Well, let's watch this. I haven't seen it. Very excited to see it. Let's see what it is. I'll tell you more. Hey, children, this is what Jesus did. You want to watch, okay? You want to see this. It's pretty cool.
They decided to come back home. And then his sickness has begun worse.
Okay. Why couldn't they treat him? Why could they not treat him?
They are treating him.
At the hospital, they sent him home, and he's not getting better.
A little bit hard to see it. There's a young man on a floor. There's not much in this room, just a blanket and a cement floor in this little house. And they had taken this boy to the hospital, couldn't treat it, couldn't do anything for him, just getting worse. And now we're going in asking God what to do.
Jeremy.
His name is Jeremiah.
Can you speak yet?
Say, Jesus. Jesus. Dis Jésus.
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 Yes, Jésus.
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 We had to translate through two different languages, and he wasn't able to do much. He was not able to move hardly at all, and the Lord started unlocking his hands and his feet a little bit. And I don't know what we have next.
Do we know? So we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus.
Merci, Jésus.
Jésus quoi?
That you break this curse over Jeremiah.
Que tu vas détruire cette malédiction sur la vie de Jérémie.
Afin que pour sa tête seront roi Jérémie Gonson.
Thank you, Jesus.
Merci, Jésus.
Jésus quoi?
That you are Jeremiah's deliverer.
Okay, this young man had that big, big mountain cliff from the sea, and he couldn't move. It was so big, he couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't even really speak. So the only way he could communicate was through the fluttering of his eyes. Now, we shared this when we came back from Cote d'Ivoire in amidst everything that happened. But it's really for today, because we have some other news. And so when we looked at him and heard what the enemy had done in his life from the Lord, we asked certain questions, and then we got a response as he was blinking his eyes. And we were trusting that the Lord was leading us to help him give his entire life to Jesus through the blinking of eyes. And then we moved towards renouncing everything that came against him that he participated in, but also was a recipient of two areas. His will was completely saturated with darkness, and now he's in a place of near death. And it wasn't pretty, and also his life was going to be used for something that was going to help empower darkness. Once he's dead, his life, through his death, was going to be something like a victory, like, yeah. And then his dead life, so to speak, dead body, was going to be used. He didn't know all this, maybe. Merry Christmas to you, love. And God was really, really wanting something to happen, but he always works on a bigger scale. He meets the need of the person right there, and then he says, I'm going to do something way beyond what you can ask, think, or even believe or imagine. Are you willing? Do I have your will so I can show you? Do I have your mind so I can breathe my thoughts? How about your emotions that want to go, ah? Will you give everything to me so that I can control you? This is Holy Spirit control. It's very simple, really. So this young man had really headed south through family connections also in the village, and his own, just kind of, well, oh, whatever. And the whatever came, and the hammer came down, and he brought us in as first responders, harvesters, and those who would minister deliverance to him in the midst of such darkness in this village. You'd have to have the eyes of Jesus to see it, to see what he wanted to do on a bigger scale. But he was also completely concerned about this boy's life.
Oh, there's power, yeah, in the name of Jesus. Yes, there's power, oh, in the name of Jesus. To break every chain.
Can you see his eyes?
To break every chain.
Look at his eyes. Is that the last video there? Okay. Do you have one where he's sitting up at all or moving that direction? Okay. We're taking a little bit of time, but it's worth it. We have him sitting up. Look into his eyes.
Another round. Another Michael? Round. Where Michael?
A little fire.
Where the enemy is done.
What?
Where the enemy is done.
Well, the enemy is done. That's the next one. Okay. You have to, because that's a delivering song.
Yeah. I see.
Yes. Okay, ready?
Oh.
I don't want any manifestation of darkness. If I don't know what videos you have, but any direct manifestation, don't play that. Okay? Is that the last one then? Okay, we'll save that for another time, Mission Training Weekend. Okay, let's show the pictures that we just received a couple days ago. We have them. There he is. There's Jeremiah. Not only is he not dead, he's alive. He's moving. Thank you, Jesus. This is a huge miracle. You don't understand. This is triumph over darkness. This is Jesus showing up. This is Jehovah Mapalti, his deliverer. This is Jehovah Rapha, his healer. And he wants to serve Jesus now. He just was interviewed, and he said, I'm free. I want to serve God. Come on. It's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Put a few others. What? Wait, hang on. That's Jesus. Look at his eyes. I don't know who the baby is. Look at his eyes. Put another one up. I didn't see it, guys. This is the very blanket we were on. This is where he was. Thank you, Jesus. This is Tomas, our new spiritual son from Cote d'Ivoire, who's so in love with Jesus. Watch this miracle. Has joined up with us, with a few others, left Cote d'Ivoire and took a bus or van with us to Ghana. We drove another 18 hours, and he went to Kingdom Bible School, and he's ready to run with things in Cote d'Ivoire. And he and others went back to find out what's going on after we left. Can we hear a big amen? Jesus. Okay? Amen. And these are the guys, the other two guys on the right are Jean-Paul and Florence. They're so great. And this is his mother. This mother needs Jesus. Amen. We'll just leave it at that. Praise the Lord. Any others? Praise the Lord. Let it be in your face. Look at this. Look at this shine on his face. Look at his eyes, if you can see it. I've been looking on my phone and bringing them up. They're just clear. Because Jesus came in as the Lion of Judah. And the enemy was mad. Really mad. Thank you, Lord. We call in Cote d'Ivoire for you. We thank you, Father. Nothing stops you. Amen. So we're in serious business for Jesus. Amen. So we need serious joy. Because serious joy brings serious results. Amen. Do you believe it? Come on. Who believes that? Hallelujah. That's Christmas. That's who we celebrate. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Is that the last of the pictures, guys? That's it? Okay. We're going to play a video. I want you guys to see this because we're getting up. We're ramping up to go to Brazil. And we played this, I think, during Relentless Pursuit. I'm not sure. And we're going to play that right now because we need your prayers because everything is ramping up. Everything. Everything in the world is ramping up, and the enemy is so ticked. He's like, let me bat a few people around. I can't really touch them too seriously, but I can make their life a little miserable. Well, go ahead and try. Jesus is bigger, right? And so that's our heart. So we need your prayers, and we need to undergird all that we're doing and saying in your prayers during this Christmas season, yes, it's very important because the Lord is looking for his lost bride to come home. And we're his harvesters. Plain and simple. Okay, let's play that.
We at Frontline Ministries International feel that God's call in our life is to go to the four corners of the earth. And we've been serving in many different countries. In the early 2000s, the Lord placed Brazil strongly on our heart. So in 2004, while we were ministering in Mozambique, Africa, Pastor Jerseo Ribeiro, who's the senior leader and pastor of Casa de Jesus in Sao Paulo, was preaching, and we felt an instant connection. So he invited us to go to Brazil the following year, which we did. We brought a large team, and we ministered in Sao Paulo on the streets, primarily, though, in the favela or slum called Heliopolis. In 2005, we were able to hear the vision for Heliopolis as we came in to partner with Pastor Jerseo. And we were able to walk through the purchasing of the current mission house that is in Heliopolis. And we have seen what God has done with a very desperate place that the Lord restored and refurbished to now be a place of action where many things are going on. Actually, Pastor Jurseo's church, Casa de Jesus, meets there now. Our teams have gone and stayed in the mission house. We've discipled people there. There are children's activities that go on there. It's a safe place that people come and congregate. Since that time, we've also been working in another favela known as the City of God, or Ciudade de Deus. That work is concentrating on ministry to the children in the favela, in the slum, who are being taught things of the Spirit. They're being led into salvation. They're being led into healing. They are learning what it is to be a worshiper of Jesus. And I see these little world changers. I see what God is doing. And the Lord has tethered our hearts together with them and also the children in Heliopolis. So we're seeing now that generations are being touched, that the mothers and the grandmothers and the aunts and the uncles are saying yes to Jesus. We're seeing their lives restored. We're seeing that they're hungry for things of the Spirit. We found in 2012 that it was time for Frontline Brazil to be established. Dr. Inez Nunes is our director of Frontline Brazil, which was established in 2013. Our worship center will include not only educational opportunities, opportunities for impartation, but also places of healing and restoration for the children, but also for their families and those who are homeless. So we're looking forward to that. We are established there in Ciudade de Deus. We have long-term relationship as well in Heliopolis, and we're believing that God's going to bless that. We've been in Sao Paulo, we've been in Bahia, we've been in Belo Horizonte, we've been in Curitiba, and we've been in Novo Friburgo, ministered there, and we see that God is moving in all of these areas. Thank you so much for partnering with us and for your continued support on every front. We want to see the Lord's kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven, particularly in Brazil.
Amen. Amen.
Pioneer, pioneer, keep pressing on the words beyond your
feet. This is our new worship center. Looks better than this now.
Your Father.
Praise God.
Goes before you to your own.
That's Amanda.
You're
one of our spiritual
pioneer.
Daughters who is so on fire, so deeply in love with Jesus. There's Joe next to her in the white. And both of these ladies go to Mozambique with us.
So, Father, during this Christmas season, Father, I thank you that we're mindful of what is on your heart all over the world. We thank you, Lord, for what you've begun and what you'll continue to do. We thank you, Lord, in the formulation of this team, Father, that they would hear and respond quickly, effectively. Your intercessors would respond here quickly, effectively. Your supporters would respond quickly, effectively, and here, all of us, God. That we would be able to be a united front in close union with you. That our yes would be yes, our no would be no, and we'd move in tandem with what you're saying. And we'd hear that still small voice and respond quickly as we've surrendered and submitted our wills to you. Thank you, Jesus. Bless this endeavor. Prepare all who are asked by you and encouraged by you to take advantage of this opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. And just very quickly, Andy, was there anything that you wanted to say about First Friday? And is there any other announcement you want to make? Saying I don't remember some other things because we've been going a long time. Okay, Troy.
First Friday was a lot of fun. We actually didn't get out of McDonald's, which was a fun night. We were blessing the atmosphere in there. And the really cool thing was is we got to meet Kathy. And she didn't even come to the gift of Christmas. And it was just a total divine connection that night. Troy and Amanda just saddled up to her, Kathy and her friend, I believe it was Betty. And yes, Lisa's here this morning. So thank you. And then also we were there and Como over there. Hey Como. So he walked into McDonald's. And so it was just a really cool time of just being in there, being able to obviously get to know our brothers and sisters even more, and it was just a really sweet time, and Peter had a chance, and Haley to minister to this young man who had worked in the oil field, and he lost his family, and it just was experiencing the presence of the Lord in a deeper way, and it was totally like God just set apart that McDonald's in downtown Canton for us to come in and release the atmosphere, and where people are praying for employees and everything else, and you're like, hey, do we need to leave? And they're like, oh, no, you're fine. You guys are great. And it was just, it was really a really cool time. And I love nights like that where you think one thing's going to happen, and the Holy Spirit's like, no, I want you to stay right here because this is where the treasure's at. So it was really a precious time. It was fun.
And another exciting thing we have this coming Saturday, for anyone who can make it, we're going to meet here at noon for a great cookie outreach. We just love going out and pass out Christmas cookies and just going door to door. So there's a couple different places we're planning to go, trying to find a newer place here in Jackson, and then also possibly some places we've gone down in Highland Park, Victory Square kind of area. So still confirming that, but we're going to be meeting here at noon. We're going to put the cookies together, but I really need help, people, with Christmas cookies. We need a few more dozen to cook in the back. There's about 16 dozen, I think, back there to cook. I will cook four, but if, you know, three other people would take the four dozen per box things of cookies, that would be awesome. They're in the freezer, and just cook them and bring them on Saturday. And but also, we need some Christmas cookies, because some of those, they're great. They're going to taste good. They got plenty of sugar, but they're not like your traditional Christmas cookies. So if anyone wants to make, like, some cutouts, anything that says Christmas, so not chocolate chip cookies. I know they're Haley's favorite. We've got cookies covered. We need, like, Christmas cookies. So, honestly, would love to see, like, another 20 dozen. I think that would be something we could do. If you happen to make them or buy them, if you need to buy them versus make them, but try to make them. But buy Christmassy-looking ones. Don't say, oh, this is a pack that's wonderful, three dozen cookies, and they're chocolate chip cookies. No. Get something that looks like Christmas, because we have cookies that are just kind of more general cookies that'll fill out, mix that out. So if you're able to come 12 o'clock noon this Saturday, and then we're hoping to put that together and leave 12:30, 12:45, but please text me so we know how many people are coming. So text me or let me know if you're able to make it. And they believe there is, or will be in a few minutes, a sign-up sheet in the lobby there, just so we know who's coming. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And we've seen people get saved. We've seen people get healed. Just going door to door, just loving on people. People just crying as we come to the door and just God touching their hearts. So if you're at all interested, you want to sing some carols, you don't have to sing well. We put you in groups, and in a group, anyone can sing carols. So I'll have some song sheets there so you can do some of the most common ones. So it'll be a lot of fun. We've really had a lot of fun with this in the past year, so looking forward to it.
And we call it our Christmas outreach. Cookies are just he's like Jehovah Sneaky, because we all like cookies, right? So we're going, and people are, their hearts seem to be more open and tender for whatever reason this time of the year, so we really have seen people come and give their lives to Jesus and in healings right at the front door. and our little people come with us, your guys and grandkids and such, and they're stepping in, you know, fearlessly with the lead of the parents and grandparents. So it's really amazing. So we hope to see you. Sin?
And Carly's not here, but she asked me to remind everyone that following the Christmas outreach, there is a Christmas party at the Maddox's at Jordan and Carly and Jordan's house. So you are welcome to transition from the outreach to the party. And everyone is asked to please bring your favorite Christmas dish to share. And there are calendar handouts out here, so you can stay updated on the other Christmas happenings. Like on the 23rd is our frontline Christmas service. We have a candlelight service on Christmas Eve, and then some New Year's information. So please make sure you grab one so it's on your calendar. But after the Christmas outreach, then it's our frontline Christmas party all on Saturday. And then this week, just a reminder that we have Redemption for Life prayer on Wednesday from 12 to 1 here at the church. We get together, share lunch, eat lunch, or don't eat lunch. Our focus is prayer against human trafficking, the things that we're aware of in here in our backyard and then across the globe as the Lord leads us in prayer. So that's on Wednesday this week.
Did you want to say about Hope House, or do you want me to say something?
We are also kind of having a part two of Gift to Christmas. An opportunity has opened up for us to partner with House of Hope, I believe is the name of the ministry, Hope House. And we are going to have the chance to take more people Christmas shopping as part of Gift to Christmas, mainly women. These are homes for women. So I will be giving more information because I'm going to need some lovely shoppers and helpers for that. So it's just another way for us to continue to give to our community. So please check your emails, text, or whatever I may call just for details on that. But we will be needing volunteers to help take these wonderful women shopping for Christmas in the very near future.
That's good. Pastor John Stallings from Louisville oversees these houses. There are, I believe, 7 of them, and we've connected in here in the Stark County area, and these are houses for women who have issues, have been on the streets and been trafficked. Some have not gotten into that yet or been part of it. Just a myriad of things. And so it's just an amazing opportunity that's local, one for us, to be able to go right in and just bless these people in many different fronts. And this will be one very direct way. So Cynthia will give more information as needed, and we'll let you know. But anyway, just a really quick tag for Gift of Christmas. I know last week we spent a lot of time. This place was roaring here on Saturday, the day before. And then Sunday we showed the pictures, and we yelled and screamed and cheered. It was like, oh my gosh, God, it was so great. And the unity that was here Saturday night after all day being in the Lord with new friends and new family, it was just so glorious to actually go to the streets in a sense of just going and bringing people out of darkness and just loving Jesus with them, through them, to them, for them, and seeing the response. So a lot of people came to know Jesus. Many gave their lives and hearts. I don't know how many of our new friends are from Gift of Christmas. If you are, can you just wave your hand if you came back today? Well, you stand up. Come on, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Come on, more people. Anybody else? Woo! Stand up. Everybody up, 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 up. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on. We love it. Just love what Jesus is doing through that. So thank you all again. And if you want to see pictures and videos, I don't know where they are. So you can decide and let them know. I'm not really sure, but it was great. So praise the Lord. We do. We're going to release the kids. Is there anything about children's program that needs to be mentioned? What day that is for the calendar? Chris, when is it? 23rd. You did? Oh, I missed that part. Sorry, 23rd. That'll be part of our Christmas Sunday. So, amen. I'm excited about that. All right, well, the kids are released right now. Yes, run. Go to Kingdom Land. Amen. That is good. Lord's put something on my heart today that is just fun, challenging. Woo!
Oh, my goodness. Well, something's bouncing. It's a bouncing ball. I don't know what it is. Let's see what it is. Oh, this is good. Hello, darling. I have to give a few people a hug here. Hold on a second. I haven't seen Audrey. Hi, Audrey.
I love you.
Ah, and
hello. Love you guys. So glad to see you. You look down. You look up.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, can I have that stick here? Before we start? Sure.
This morning we were blessed before we came. While we were waiting for the bus to come and pick us up, there was a gentleman that stopped along at the Reverend's house that passed out.
My name's James Yonts. I'm from the Refuge of Hope. While we were standing there waiting for the bus to come bring us here to front line this morning, several of us gentlemen were standing outside waiting. While this gentleman came down and passed us out a Christmas card from his heart or from somebody else's heart, while we were standing there and he drove off, we opened up the Christmas card and it was a $5 bill with it.
Yeah, come on. Waiting for the band and we get $5 extra.
Okay, well, we always praise the Lord. We say yes. Thank you for testifying. Thank you for that. Somebody who's grateful. You know, when we serve the Lord with a grateful heart and we give testimony of how great he is, you go to the front of the bus, so to speak. In other words, Jesus is smiling. He's going, that's my boy. So good for you. I love it. Just looking for those divine appointments. Last night I received a call from friends of ours who are have been pastors and leaders in the area and have since graduated to another capacity, really powerful capacity, and they called last night for prayer. And they were telling us about a very impossible situation. Really impossible sounding. So we prayed together, and one of the pastors was saying, do you remember when so-and-so of the two of us were in your house and there was an angel feather that showed up just sitting there, just sitting on our couch? You know, this anointed place where angels hang out and there's a lot of peace where I get to live. Okay, that place. And so there's this little hassock thing, I call it, you know, just sitting in front of the couch. And as we're talking and praying, it was a really dark time that they were going through. I mean, really, it's like, oh, wicked. But they aren't wicked. It was really tough. And, you know, as we were talking and praying, this is a number of maybe 3-4 years ago, just as we're talking, just trying to release hope, there's this angel feather, I don't know how big it was, like this or something, just was there all of a sudden. So this person had never seen anything like that. We have. I wasn't calling on angels. I wasn't calling on feathers. I wasn't calling, just talking to Jesus, you know. And this angel feather came, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I've never seen anything like this. Well, it so touched the other spouse who wasn't there, who really wondered if that kind of stuff was ever true, and does God really do that, and what about those wacky people who believe that kind of stuff. When they called last night, it was that spouse who was talking and brought that up and said that was life-changing. And that spouse keeps it in that spouse's Bible. And she said, you know, it just reminded me or told me, you can believe, you can trust, I am supernatural. I'm supernatural God. And I can do anything. The most unbelievably difficult situations that look like there's such a spider web only you can untangle it. Perfect for Jesus. So he just calls us to believe. Amen. So that was last night. And once I hear more information, I'll tell you. It was really powerful to be able to pray into a very difficult situation. And one of the things I was able to share, which they didn't know, which I thought they did, was about a miracle in Mozambique where a lady came up front after preaching. And she had unfortunately, a dead baby in the womb. And she was, I don't know how pregnant she was. You know, they hide it really well in Africa. And so she was really pregnant, but the baby had stopped moving for a couple of months. It's like, oh my gosh. Well, the Lord at that moment quickened me to a word that he had given me, you know, just a little while before that in a van with a group of our team. Because we thought we were going to go do something else. We thought we were going to go do a youth rally. We're all ready to go. Woo, we're praying. We're worshiping God. Yeah, it's time. Woo. Ring, 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 ring. And Pete, I want you to do something else. Oh, okay, what? I want you to go over there. Oh, when? Now. Oh, like now? Like now. Like right now? Like 5 minutes now? Yes. Laughing. And it was really fun because I thought, okay, whatever, God, it just doesn't matter because whatever you say is what I want to do. And then in your spirit, when your will, you desire for your will to be as well, right? It's like, Lord, let's do this. Okay, so we went 5 minutes later. But in that 5 minutes, I said, is there anything you want to tell me? I am the resurrection and the life. I heard that clearly. That's it. Nothing more. Do you want to tell me what that means? Nope. Do you want to say anything else? Nope. Do you want to lay it out? Nope. Alrighty then. All right, let's go, team. We're going to do a pastors and leaders conference right now. Woo, let's go do this. So we did. And there was a man who was there, and he was leading it, or he was brought in from the United States. And he was there, and he was ready to speak. And then we walk in. Can you see this? Just imagine it. All right? But interestingly, he was quite gracious and said, hi. I said, hi, I'm Mary Pat Gokey, and I guess we're doing this together. Oh, okay. I said, what would you prefer? And he said, you just start. You take the mic. Okay. So I picked up the mic, preached, and then prayed for healing. When this girl came up for healing, young lady, and she had a baby in the womb that had not been moving for 2 months and had been moving prior to that, so you do the math and figure it out, I instantly was quickened. I am the resurrection and the life. That's all. Okay, there's no mustering up. Oh, my gosh, we got to raise this baby from the dead. It was just like, poof, this is what you do. This is who you are, Jesus. You can move freely. Put your hand on the belly. Okay, Jesus, then what? Just keep it there. It's my job. So my hand is shaking with the whole belly shaking as the baby is kicking and moving and coming back to life. Amen? And that was a mighty miracle. But unfortunately, maybe unfortunately, at the time it felt like unfortunately, but it was like, this is amazing. Look what Jesus has done. Whoops, my time is up. They told me this is how much time you have to preach. Alrighty then, but Jesus isn't finished. I know. Choke. And so I said, oh, God bless you. Gave the mic as the guest preacher that I was at that time going, I don't know what to do with this, Jesus. He goes, I know. You don't need to know. You just do what I tell you to do. You don't have to control it. You can't anyway, but you don't even have to try. You don't have to think about that. You just do what I told you to do. And that's all I told you to do. Okay. And that was it. It's like, all righty then. And so this guy preached, and that was nice, and it was over, and I'm asking God, so what about this? What about this? Silence. It's like, that's right. I don't need to know anymore, do I? Because you told me to do what you told me to do, and trust me. Kind of like this boy up here. We left after 2 hours. He wasn't up dancing and singing and different things, you know? But Jesus told Rachel Larson, rejoice as we're leaving. Now we're declaring, it's finished. Jesus is finished. He's raised from the dead. He's alive. And prophesied over him things that God gave us for his destiny. So it was like, yeah, all right. But the Lord says, it's time for you to go. Okay. 2 hours, we did what we were supposed to do, and it's really dark. And now you saw the results. This is like, this is God. This is the kingdom. This can happen at your family get-together. This can, I know, it's like, not there. This can happen while you're making gingerbread houses. I saw that on Facebook. That's good. This can happen at birthday parties. You got Bella's birthday party today. You've got different things that you do not even think or imagine or expect can, as we are really tuned in to what the Spirit of God is saying. No, it's going to take a long time, because I've been praying for this for years, or I've been doing this for years, or whatever it is, you know. But the Lord is saying, I'm looking for those that I can quicken who will hear that's prompting. I'm looking for those. I want those who want my burning eyes, who can see my eyes in intimacy. I want them to be able to spend time with me so that union that I have with them is growing in intensity and fire. And they're not so wrapped up in the how-tos and the what's in the schedule and everything else, but they're hearing what I'm saying at the moment. And I will be able to trust them. They will be able to hear what I'm doing, and I will trust them with the impossible. That's our God. He wants us to think that way. Yeah, but I just came to Gift of Christmas, and I just came into the kingdom. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You know the qualification to go overseas with us? That we are in love with Jesus, and we'll do anything to love him and serve him, anything, and we're not going to shrink back, and we're not going to play church, and we're not going to carry around religious spirits, and we're going to obey the gospel of the kingdom, because obedience is better than sacrifice, and Jesus says, I am King, I am Lord, and I want your entire heart, and I want your entire life. Nothing less than that. I'm serious. You know, I was telling these pastors last night, that these friend pastor people I was telling you about, because I was praying, and Pastor Bill and I are standing in one accord, you know, for all these great wild things that are going on in their lives. And what I heard was from them, actually, I want to grow in hearing the voice of God. I want to obey with a pure heart way beyond what I ever have before. That's what I want. I want everything to be reflecting Jesus Christ. But they mean it. They just really mean it. It wasn't, you know, when I take care of my grandkids or my kids and when I do this and when I do that. No, no, this was, what are you saying right now? Yeah, but this, it's not going to be so good over here for this and this. Nope. They have learned through fiery affliction. They have learned through much persecution and suffering that the way of the cross, when we lay down and really die to ourselves, it involves our mind, will, emotions, and body and everything. And it really produces unspeakable joy that draws us into deeper intimacy where we want more. And we cry out, oh, Jesus, you're King. I love you. I want more. I want more. I want more. I get up in the morning and I feel like sludge. Lord, I want more because I know you're not sludge. And you're going to do something. If I have to crawl to the bathroom, if I have to crawl to find my Bible, or whatever it is, I am going to walk in the fiery power and presence and the anointing that you carry. That's the heart that he will produce through intimacy. Honestly, through that close union that goes beyond our schedule and how well we do parenting, we think. I'm serious. How well we do grandparenting, how well we do non-parenting, how well we do what we do. Jesus is saying, I am going to be the determining factor of that, and it's going to be based on your intimacy with me. That is first, that is foremost, and that's got to be the overriding factor for everything that we do. And we are in a season where the Lord says, this is what I'm calling my true new breed missionary harvesters too. Every person, whether you work in a bank, you're called to missions. Whether you are working in a grocery store, you're called to missions. We are all called. But the abundant life of giving your entire life for a mission thrust where the nations are overwhelming in your heart and you're called, you will hear that. And you better respond quickly because the enemy will hope that you don't. It's not you better with a finger. It's respond and say yes. Respond. Yes, but you don't know my schedule. I'm giving you examples of where schedules are just not what God says. What if I would have said to that one person who was saying to me, MP, how about over here? Why don't we do that tomorrow? Maybe not. I mean, the team is really pumped. I mean, we've got this. We're ready to go. You see what I'm saying? We have to hear the moment. What's he saying in the moment? We have to be willing to change. We cannot change. We cannot say we're flexible if we aren't surrendering our will like today. Uh-uh. Well, I'm moving. You're pushing. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit is drawing. He's calling us. He's saying, you can have as much of me as you want. If we react to people by saying, okay, this is what I'm doing. Just don't push. Just leave me. That's what I'm doing. We got fear on steroids. We have fear and control that are ruling us. I'm serious. And the Lord is saying, I'll show you in my word, But more than that, you need to respond to my spirit. And my spirit is saying, mm-mm, because that will block what I want to do. And that monster picture up there just gets stronger. Don't, this is a time where the Lord says, don't kid yourself. Do not fool yourself. So anyway, I was talking to these people last night, and we were talking about the gospel of the kingdom in America. And just saying, well, you know, I think Jesus is going to have his way. What do you think? For all of us, each one of us. If he says you're going to stay at McDonald's at First Friday, that's what you're going to do. But you're going to hear him. You're going to be willing to let him shake everything. Amen. All right, let's look in our Bibles. Mark 1 through 3. Mark chapter 1, 2, and 3. Very familiar passages for most of us. But I really, really believe that God wants to do something really fun with this right now. Let's just turn in our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. There's Bibles up here. Okay, you guys need a Bible? All right. Yeah. Anybody who came from Gift of Christmas, you got a Bible, right? But if you didn't bring it today, borrow this one. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the little one. That's good. Or the big one. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. All right. I got to find it myself. Mark, I know you're after Matthew. Mark, you say what? Okay, we have we've preached from this for a long, long time. But let it just be said that in the first chapter of Mark, unless I counted wrong, you guys can memorize this, okay? Because I've said it so many different times. But there, the word immediately is mentioned 10 times. You can count if you want. Maybe there's 11 in your version. I don't know. But anyway, what I counted in NASB is 10 times in one chapter. It's like, I think the Lord is saying that not only is that what that's what he wants from us, but he's saying it's possible. He's saying, you can respond to me immediately if you want to. Oh, there's that will. You can, because I am your papa who's responding to you. You know, I really think in the way that we pray, in the way that we think of God many times, puts God in a, looks, makes it look like he's some mean old ogre who doesn't respond. He's talking to us. He's saying, you lost your keys, have you talked to me about it, or just frantically go look for them? Hello. We can all like relate to that, right? It's like, oh, yeah. But he knows everything, and he knows our hearts. He knows what's going on. And when he gives us a prompting, lean into it. If he says, oh, pray for so-and-so, give him a call. Move on. Just keep responding to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. Because he's speaking even today. I believe he's speaking into major decisions that people are trying to make today. And if you have this prompting, just say yes. Quit messing around. Just say okay. Mm-hmm. And this major thing will start cracking. Like, oh, wow. Yeah, the will. All right, let's look at Mark. This is so great. We're going to scan it because we don't have 3 days to unpack this. But I would like it. Okay, Mark chapter 1. We're talking John the Baptist and, you know, coming in and preparing the way of the Lord and then the baptism of Jesus. Very familiar. Important during Christmas? You betcha, baby. We better be thinking about that. We better be just considering what was happening in the beginning. Look at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it's written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now check this out. Verse 4, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. All righty. And everybody's getting baptized and confessing their sins. Glorious. Jesus hasn't come. So we get that. It's like, yeah, look at that crazy guy. He eats locusts. He goes in the wilderness. I want to be like him because Jesus is coming again and he's looking for those new breeds who say, that's me. I'll do anything, whatever it takes, because I'm going to preach you coming again, but I want to preach from a full heart and I want to live from a full heart. I want to do from a full heart. I want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I cannot say any longer, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1995. Praise God. And I pray in tongues. Praise God. Listen, The Lord is saying that's nice for a benchmark. Now let's see this grow. Let's see if you can honestly stand up in full power and say, I am walking in the power and the anointing and the calling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but you don't know my life. You don't know how these problems. That's not what I'm asking. I'm saying from the Spirit of God within, is that where we are? Or are we always, always just struggling with one wicked, rough moment to the other? How do we get to that place? Many people do not understand that intimacy with the Lord is the key. And he's just not going to do it any other way. He's not, you can read 1,000 books. You know I'm always pushing books. And you can read the word, listen to a tape, all this, like, yes. But it's for the purpose of intimacy. It's for the purpose to increase our desires, to lay before the Lord, spend time with him, and then respond to him and not miss any more opportunities. If we said right now to the Lord, I don't want to miss any more opportunities that you have given me. Well, I don't think I have. But what if you have? What if I have because we didn't hear him? What if the opportunities have been there, but because our ears are not as clear and open, we're missing them? You see, that's what the Lord is saying. He's speaking to us now. He says, if you want to hear me, he who has an ear to hear, let them hear what I'm saying to the churches right now. If you really want to know, read Revelation 2 and 3. Study Revelation 2 and 3. Study the seven churches and say, where do I fit? Oof. Just saying. So here's the beginning with Mark. And this is just great. You want to have devotions with your kids and grandkids. Come on, this is just wonderful. But help them see. They're growing up in the West like you and me. And they're facing everything that's not necessarily heaven, but even more on steroids. Okay, you can't just keep them in a cocoon and protect them. That's not going to be the answer. The answer is that they're going to come into a connection with God where they're going to be able to really, really see him and see his eyes. If we can see his eyes, then we will see his eyes in other people. We'll be able to look at every person in this place through the eyes of the Lord, and that's what the kids need to see in your life, in the grandkids, in my life, more and more, okay? Because there's coming a time, and the Lord says, you know, you can tell everybody there's coming a time, and there is coming a time, but let's make hay while the sun shines now. That's good for Jicho, okay? Let's do it. This is time. This is my time. If you say, Lord, this is my time, let's hear it. Lord, this is my time. I want to hear you, and I want to see you. Okay, Lord, this is my time. I want to hear you. I want to see you. Okay, I'd like to hear it out of your mouth. Everybody, ready? Lord, this is my time. I want to hear you. I want to see you. Okay, you know, you said it really to him. I asked you to do it, but you said it to him, and he's going to respond as we hear. Because he's going to work according to the power that's working in us. We need his power, don't we? Okay, in Mark chapter 1, verse 8, I baptize you with water, this is John, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. But the 8 comes after 7, because he was preaching, and he's saying, you know, after me, One is coming who is mightier than I. And I am not fit to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. If we took that verse and we got up in the morning with that, let's say that was just placed on our bathroom mirror. That's placed on our rearview mirror when we're in the car. That's placed on our kids' carrier. Okay? And we really believe that we choose to walk in belief in that. As someone who hasn't even met Jesus yet, really, in the you know, full incarnation of Jesus, okay? It's like, whoa. Do I believe that? Yeah, I really do. Jesus, you're just awesome, man. Let's go. Okay, give me that cup of coffee over here. I'm saying that if our heart isn't so triggered by that, that we start to shake, we start to rattle inside, like, oh my gosh, Lord. Pull me out of complacency. Pull me out of anything that is not related. It is not fiery. I need your fire. I need to connect with the consuming one, the consuming fire. I need your fire. I need to be on fire. I will not settle for anything. I will not give a yes, I'm okay if I'm not on fire. I will not lie to myself and anybody else anymore. I'm drawing the line in the sand. or in the dirt. That's who I am, because that's who you called me to be. That's who you said I am, and that's what I'm going to choose to believe if I've got weak knees and I'm shaken. Respond. Like, yeah, God, inside, because that very one that you and I are inside is going, yes, yes. And the Lord is saying, I want it to be yes, yes. That's your spirit rising. And the Lord says, I will conform you to the likeness of my Son, and the spirit of me in you will produce great fruit that will remain. Fruit that will remain. If one person in my life contained the unquenchable and uncontainable fire of God to go to the ends of the earth and lay down their life as one who will stand and shed their blood for Jesus if necessary, would that be worth it? I pray there will be many more, but would that be worth it for you and me? Because I'm telling you, Jesus is looking for those he can trust. Trust not just with doing it well. I've got it together. Don't let me do too much. Don't, because it'll be pushing me and I can't take it and I can't handle it. Stop that. The Lord says, do you see who I am and watch what I will do through you? Just say yes. And that little inside will turn into a yes. Simple. The power of God, the Spirit of God in the Word is so strong. He's so strong. It's like, yeah. What are you going to do with this after we leave? Think about that verse 7. Think about that verse 8. When Jesus went after everyone and said, follow me, and there's all these immediately's, he's saying, the enemy is moving and he's not having lunch. He's not taking a vacation. And he will. He'll strike. And he's saying, I need my intercessors to take their place. I need people to step out and preach the gospel of the kingdom with fire in their eyes, with a fire in their belly, everywhere they are, and think more of who's inside of you than what's around you. And watch what God will do. Yeah, but they think you're a fruitcake. I know. They'll think you're nutty. True. But Jesus says, I'm looking for those I can really trust. Be it. Do it. Say it. People will be surprised to see a different Lawrence. Oh, but Lawrence, he's on fire. He's really cool. I like the way Lawrence is. It's not about Lawrence. Just using, you got a nice hat and you're sitting there. Okay? So, but people have got to see a different Lawrence. Let me tell you something. Pastor Jacob from India, we were talking this week. And you know he's been in prison for 3-4 years and 4 years out, and now he's preaching with the power and the glory of God in ways that he wasn't in fullness, even though he was kind of like completely crazy man of God back in 2009, until he was sent to prison in 2013. And he's a spiritual son who needs to be encouraged, and the enemy is still after. And let me tell you know what he said to me? He said, somebody offered me a great big blessing that anyone in their right mind would say, I'll take that. But as the Lord came and showed him the root and the source, he said, no way. He says, I am a different person now. Not that he would have before. A different person now. Different person now. In other words, I've seen my Jesus with new eyes. I am offering who he is with new fire. Join me. Which we are, we will. But the point is, when he put that in writing, he said, I am different now. I was so blessed. He was so crazy wild before. The Lord is looking for crazy wild, crazy radical. He is. It is not just because we like those words. He's saying, that's what I'm looking for. That's what giving me your will actually will produce. You're letting me saturate your will with my spirit, okay? Don't get whacked on me thinking, she's saying, give up your mind, okay? Well, yes. Give it over so you have the mind of Christ. Let's get the great exchange here. But Jesus is the most brilliant person who ever lived on this earth. Very wise, but brilliant person. Person? Oh. Wow. Son of God. Taking on human flesh. I really like those last couple songs, Lena. It's really powerful. Let's let those songs, let worship rock our world. Okay, baptism of Jesus. All kinds of immediately's in there. You know, he was out in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan with wild beasts, and angels were ministering to him. Wow, great picture. And then he starts preaching. He went in the power. He went in full of the Holy Spirit, rather. The Bible says, actually, in the Luke account, he says he went in the fullness of the Spirit, was baptized in the Spirit, but he came out in power. He says, don't worry about the power, guys. The power will follow you. The power will come. The power will be there. You need to be full of me. Need to be completely saturated in me. Not just crying and whining about fear possessing, but recognizing what's really at work in the darkness when we carry the light. Okay, so let's take a look at Jesus preaching in Galilee. This is what I want to point out here. In verse 14. It says, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. All right, let's look at the gospel of God. Here it is. First thing out of Jesus' mouth, the gospel of God. God is kingdom. So it's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Let's keep it simple, really simple. It says in pink or red and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. If Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Lord is saying, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. He's saying, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Those words right there are life-changing, and this is when he started to go and find the 12 dudes who were going to be walking with him. 17, he says, follow me, and you will become fishers of men. It was interesting when I had this injury that happened shortly after Jeremiah was ministered to, very shortly after. And when it happened, I will tell you the very first thing after they got me stabilized and put me in a bed is Pastor Bill said, go get some ice. You got to do it, you know. So what did they bring? Fish, a frozen fish from the freezer. Because there's no ice. Is that hilarious? I'm like, what are you doing? And there's this big fish. It's like wrapped up, but it feels like it's 20 pounds. And it's like, you're doing what? And putting it where? Oh my gosh. And why? But it's a fish. And honestly, even at that moment, even in the pain, it was so prophetic. It's like, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. And you are a fisherman. I'm going to put that fish right there. And you got to see what God's doing. It wasn't just that there was no ice. But God is smiling, going, well, watch this one. It's all part of the process, baby. Ha, fish on my foot. Okay, it's crazy. All right, so anyway, you know, you just read these passages and go, yeah, I understand this a little bit more. So follow me. And you read 17, follow me. You read them, you go down 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Well, they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So because he came out of this time in the wilderness, really, in power, that authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy was there. Okay? Not because, well, he's Jesus from heaven, for heaven's sakes. We're having a Christmas program about it. No, he was completely surrendered to the will of the Father. Completely. God is saying every word that you hear today that you believe, say, that's for me. And that's what I'm doing. Even if I've heard it a million times, that's what I'm doing today. And that's going to change how I do what I do today. Maybe with someone that you're dealing with in your family. Maybe someone who's coming. Maybe someone you've been working with. Maybe a phone call that's coming. Maybe it's going to be someone in this very place. Somehow there's going to be an encounter, because Jesus does not give us these new realms to be able to swim in and live in without giving us opportunity to succeed. He's saying, you're an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and love not your life unto the death. Woo! Love that scripture. And he says, do you believe it? Of course I do. Watch this. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Why? Because he wants to trust us with more. He's looking for people he can trust. I don't trust myself. Okay, that's all right. How about the Jesus in you? Do you trust God? Do you trust him? Do you believe him that he will make a way? Do you believe him when you give him a simple yes, even if it's yes, that he will back you up? Heaven will come. Heaven will say, yes, with me all things are possible. Do you believe it or just listen to it being preached? Or do you sing it in a song? God says, you know, if you say, I'm not sure I believe, well, then go after that unbelief and realize the source and then step and take the hard step. Take the hard step because Jesus will back it up. His word is true, does not fail. And he's saying, this is the day. This is the day for new levels of fire. New levels of fire. And going back and pulling up the very words that he said to us long ago. Many of us have heard and seen and connected with our Jesus in ways that we maybe aren't yet again. Or maybe for the first time. And the Lord says, I don't forget. Run after it. Agree. But then take a step and agree. Take a step in your agreement. Well, I can't. No, it's you won't. There's no I can't. If I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then there's I won't, and that involves the will. We don't want the I won'ts anymore. Nope, I'm not going to. You can't make me. Well, you know, the Lord says, you know, there's someone who's playing with you. Come close to me. Watch what I do for you. I'm bigger than you think. Trust me. Trust me with the little. Trust me with everything, and I will produce a lot. Oh, man, sweet. Okay, so this authority will come out. In verse 24, what business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. This was an unclean spirit. Do you know the Lord is digging deep, and he's saying, I am going to eradicate and to obliterate every unclean spirit that has come against you in your life, in your family line, towards the people you love, that are affecting the people you love, I'm going to give you eyes to see. Anything that is clean and pure will resist in the unclean spirit. Or the other way around. The unclean spirit will resist anything pure and holy. Pure and holy. Pure and holy. Well, I'm not resisting. Really? Unclean spirit knew Jesus and didn't like Jesus. And Jesus is radical. Jesus is not a little pushover. Jesus is radical. The Lord is saying, rise up, rise up, rise up. Let him transform in your presence. As Pastor Bill said today, that prayer is exactly what I was hearing on the floor. It's like, Jesus, you're here. Oh, wow, you're doing it. You're changing us. We don't even know it. We're going to be different when we go to Macy's or Mark's or wherever you buy food and clothes and not food at Macy's, but Mark's maybe. Mark's has some cheap prices. I go there. Anyway, God is so easy. Jesus said, be quiet and come out of him. Not so sure that was really a quiet way of being put. But he rebuked him. He threw him into convulsions, or the unclean spirit cried with a loud voice and came out of him. We saw a little bit of that with Jeremiah. We're not going to put it on a screen and go, wow, look at that. It's just annoying. But it had to move, and it had to come out, and it had, and it's just trying to make itself known. We didn't pay any attention to that. It's like, you're just ridiculous. But you, Jesus, are here because there's power in your blood. It's not trying to get you to do something, Jesus. It's just partnering with who you are and what you are saying and doing at that moment. So thank you, Lord, for that. By the way, people in Brazil need this. So if you have it and carry it, go. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 27, they were all amazed so that they debated among themselves, saying, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Immediately, the news about him spread everywhere into all the surrounding district of Galilee. Immediately. Another immediately. God wants to do something immediately. With these guys and one of the gals that you haven't heard too much from or about, Mary Helen in Cote d'Ivoire, he wants them to move. He wants them to do something. Okay, they were given an opportunity to go with us, travel another 18 hours and go to Ghana, go to Kingdom Bible School, go from one country to the next. One said yes, that's fine. And it was, I have decided I'm doing it. I'm going. It was offered to everybody. I'm leaving it at that. I don't care. Ultimately, it's you guys want to do this? We'll take you. We'll figure it out. There's not enough room in our van. didn't say that, but I don't know. I'm not God. He's the one that said, stop what you're doing and go over here and do a pastor's conference. Surely he can make a way. So I didn't think about that. It's, do you want to come? So one came, and it was amazing. Filled with the fire, filled with the power, filled with the presence. Oh, Jesus. Don't let your minds go. Yeah, but. Don't go into yeah, but. That'll kill you. So verse 29, immediately they came out of the synagogue, and immediately things happened, and then we just start going through, boom, 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 all these healings. So Jesus comes out. He's preaching with authority. All kinds of people are healed. It's so great. You want to be encouraged during Christmas season? Read about Jesus. Read how he started his life. Read what he does. Read where he goes and what he's part of and what he thought was important while he's preaching and while he's being who he is. People are drawn to him, but he's not shrinking back. He's saying, let me pray for you. Okay. Honestly, we had a pastor's meeting here on Tuesday, I think. Tuesday. And people from Massillon area were here. And there was this lady who had never been here before, and she goes to a church in Massillon. She's not one of the pastors, but she's in a church on the decline, and she has, you know, just loves God, she says, and trying to learn about him, wants to help somebody out, you know, in authority. So she was here, and it was good. And so she was physically not doing well in maybe some other areas in her life. So anyway, she wanted to talk to me for some reason. She doesn't know that we prayed for healing and seen lots of healing. She doesn't know we've been around the world. She doesn't know any of that. She doesn't know me. I never met her either, but there was some draw because the Lord wanted to do something. So as I'm talking to her afterwards, I'm just looking at her going, Jesus, you're going to do something. She's supposed to have a hip operation. I don't know what you... Can I pray for you? Sure. We prayed for her. All the pain went away. She had a cane. She put the cane away. She was crying. It's like, wow, Jesus, that's pretty cool. That was unexpected, especially in this environment at that time. Just saying. That'll change. But God is God. He's saying, step up and do what you don't think you're comfortable doing and take a chance. Just do it. Take a risk. You can't lose. Can I pray for you now? If you want. Let me tell you about Jesus. Okay, when we were finishing the Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire and Ghana experience and everything, and we're going back, driving back from Salag, driving down to Accra, staying there and, you know, getting our sea legs under us for a couple of hours and going to Katoka Airport. And when we were in the airport, it was like, finally, somebody doesn't have to carry me because there's no crutches, there's no cane, there's nothing really. It's like, oh my. So they put me in a wheelchair because I can't really walk at that point. But I was able to finish the assignment God gave me, which is what I really wanted to do. So they put me in this wheelchair, and this guy, it's like I'm looking at him going, I'm getting on a plane in a little bit, and I'll never see this guy again, more than likely. So I looked at him, and I said, hey, my name's Mary Pat, what's your name, told me. And I said, do you know Jesus? I do. I said, really? Are you in love with Jesus? Yes. Oh, good. I'm really glad to hear that because I didn't want to get on a plane not knowing that. So that's really cool. So you know, and that's wonderful. Let me tell you about this kid that the Lord detained us at the border of Cote d'Ivoire and Ghana. He detained us, the Lord. We're rushing like crazy to get there through the bumpy roads and all this. And I'm holding on with, oh, here we go. We're going to try to get through the border. We can't get through the border because God slowed us down. 20 minutes, it closed, and we were sitting there going, what are we going to do now? Hang out in front of a bakery, another bakery, imagine that, in the middle of the night. Well, there's an unsaved young man there, and a couple of our team members go and minister to him, and he's like, nope, I'm basically saying I'm afraid. Didn't use those words, but. And then they brought him over, and we talked to him at our table, and the guy gets born again, and he's a Muslim. And you think, well, that's because it's Muslim. No, he was a desperate one. The Lord brought into desperation. He wasn't desperate before we got there, that he was, you know, feeling like, I hope God brings me somebody who can tell me about Jesus. So when we focused on Jesus and not his fear, hear me again. Can I please say that again? When we focused on Jesus and not his fear, it was his fear because he owned it. When we focused on Jesus and when fear kept rising with and we said, hey, nicely, hey, we're not going down that road right now. We're talking about Jesus. We do care about you, but we're talking about Jesus. Because that was a distraction. That was one of those mountains, cliffs, things in his life at that moment. Do you see this? Because it was fear. So at our Christmas parties, it'll be fear that rises up. It'll be a distraction that will rise up in somebody else. We're in the West. Hello. Okay? But it's the same demon or the same spirit. They're the same anti-heaven opportunity. Call it whatever you want, but it's the same thing to keep you from being who you are. So you ask God, what do I do about that? How do I handle that? What do I bind secretly? What do I say? How do you draw me in? I want to help that person. How can it be? You've got brothers and sisters and parents and grandparents that are really in trouble, and the Lord's saying, you're not to the degree they are. Listen, and let me empower you to do what you think they don't want. Let me say that again. To do what you think they don't want. So this kid who's at the border, he really didn't want at first. But once that fear was out of the way in terms of, I'm not going to deal with that right now. In fact, I'm going to pray that you don't have to be bothered by that. Can I do that so you can hear the rest? Okay. Which happened. And then that young man gets saved and filled with the Spirit and is saying, even if my father turns against me, I'll be okay. Because that was his big fear. Okay, finish the story and then we'll get back in the Word and wrap it up. When I was in the wheelchair and I'm talking to this guy, you know what he says to me? He says, yeah, I'm a believer. I'm in love with Jesus. I love Jesus. Okay, I said, well, when did this happen? He goes, when I was 13. It's like, what? I'm just going down the hall going, this is like really cool. When you were 13, this is amazing. He goes, yeah, I was Muslim. I said, what? You were Muslim? Yes. I said, well, you're not now? No. What about your dad? Well, he's an imam, one of the leaders. Oh, how about your rest of your family? He said, they're all believers now. I said, really? I said, what happened to you? And he said, well, no, let me back up. I said, so did you, hello, I'm from the West. I said, did you get persecuted? Did you get beat up? Did you get sliced or niced or diced or, you know, did something physical happen to you? Did you get thrown out? You know what he says to me? Well, he goes, well, yeah, of course. Anyone who's been a Muslim knows that that's going to happen if you give your life to Jesus. I said, so you renounced everything in your life? Yes. So you counted the cost? Yes. Man, I'm going to speak about you when I get back to our ministry in Ohio. He smiled. And then that was goodbye. And on the plane I went, it's like, Jesus, make it true for me in my own life, way beyond where I am. And make it true for all those who hear that story, that testimony. What's the cost? What did Jesus say when he first started out, to every person that he picked up along the way? The cost was their entire life. The cost was everything. It was mind, will, emotions, and body. If you're going to follow me, that's the cost. If you're going to say, I'm a believer in Jesus, that's the cost. If you say, I believe. Do you know, I said to someone who's dying this week, it's like, Jesus, did I really say that? Who thanked me, and hopefully won't, prayed that they won't, and they get healed, but they're in a place like that, someone else different from any other story, and you don't know this person at all. And I get calls all the time, just all the time. And this person was telling me about their daughter who lives an alternative lifestyle. I mean, really, you know, as alternative as it can be, let's put it that way. And I know about this, and I've known about it for a long, long time and whatever. And I said, what do you think about that in this season? And this person said to me, who's very sick, said to me, well, I just try to show love and compassion the best way that I can. And I said, the best way that you can. I said, do you want to show the fullness of love and compassion of Jesus, whether you're healed or not? And she said, well, what would that be? I said, what does the Word of God say about this? Oh, I know, but it's really hard on people because they, you know, they really struggle. I said, I get you. I want to walk in the compassion of Jesus too. But what does God's Word say, really? And she told me. I said, do you think this person in your family embraces that? No. But you just told me, you said they were a believer. Well, they believe that Jesus died on the cross and raised from the dead. I said, but what's the gospel of the kingdom? A person who will follow, who will lay down their life, who will count the cost, who will say Jesus is Lord, which is what the scripture says. Now, this is going to ruffle many feathers everywhere you go if you believe this. So you have to understand, read, and be sure what the Word of God is saying. Not taking pieces, parts, but read and know the Word. Okay? We're going to go into, you know, more depth with that. But let's take a look at Jesus' first words. He was saying to those who thought they knew what was going on. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and believe. Repent first and come. He didn't say, come to me. Come into the family. And I'll just make it nice and fluffy. He said, come home. You have to repent to come home. You have to, because if you read the scriptures, you will see it. Yeah, but you'll scare them away. Jesus didn't. People were drawn. And he used many different ways to be drawn. I honestly, the lady who came this week, I don't know if she's born again. God just told me to love her and pray for her. But tell her the truth. Tell her the truth. Tell her the truth. Lovingly, kindly, and we can. Sometimes we need to do that so that we will be able to help someone get rid of what you saw on the screen and come out. Many times we do that. But not you? Yeah, I'm just friendly with everybody. You know, I go out to lunch and I just do this and that and the other, and I'm just doing whatever I can so that they feel loved. I'm telling you, we're in a season, okay? I just found out yesterday that one of my relatives is in something so dark, something brand new I just found out, so dark, and it just makes me cry. And it's like, Lord, give me an opportunity. So that the true love and compassion of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, will have an opportunity to work. Be that person. Just say yes. Even if you've never done that before, God will use it. And maybe he'll find someone else to tag team you and you don't even know it. Because that's what he does. Like, wow, I never knew. You said this? Oh my gosh, what about this? That happened to me last week. I said, wow, God's after you, isn't he? Here's what he's speaking. Here's what he's speaking to you. Listen and respond. So basically, fears will go, faith will rise, but we have to help people. So let's finish and wrap up and look what Jesus said here when he healed all these crowds. And I'm going to encourage you to read these verses in your devotion time. All the immediately's in chapter 1. Excuse me. And let's look at chapter 2 now, because I'm going through it here. I wish we had more time today. If you look at chapter 2, it says, when he had come back to Capernaum several days after all these healings, and he left the city, many were gathered together so there was no longer room, not even near the door, and he was speaking the word to them. Now listen to this, guys. Put yourself in this position right now. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Okay, get this? Being unable, verse 4, to get to him. Being unable to get to him. Can I say that again? Being unable to get to him. Meaning, I can't see a way to get through, but I'm going to get to him. I am going to push and press until I connect, because I am going to encounter Jesus. And if I have to put my schedule down, if I have to change what's coming, if I have to cancel a lunch appointment, whatever it would be, I'm going to do that. If my whole life is scheduled because I feel safer that way, I'm going to do things differently. Oh my gosh, God, could it be? Seriously, look at the verse. God gives us these examples for a reason. These are the ways, these are my boundaries around my life. Don't touch it. You tell Jesus that. You tell these people that, and they will say, did you read the word? Okay, look at what it says. Being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. I love that. And when they had dug an opening, nice, They let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying, and Jesus, seeing their faith, because they were willing to trust him, they were willing to press in, they were willing to dig a hole in the roof, they were willing to let down the paralytic, they were willing to get into the presence of God, they were willing to do whatever it took to connect with him. They wanted that union. They wanted that presence of God. They knew that Jesus was the only hope, the only answer, the only way. The fire of the Holy One was resonating. And Jesus hadn't even died yet. He hadn't even raised from the dead yet. He's just calling people to follow him. But he's demonstrating the power of the kingdom through authority as a man. Remember. Whoa, who was submitted. His will was submitted to the Father. His will was submitted to the Father. His will was submitted to the Father. Seeing their faith, son, your sins are forgiven. What? Verse 6, there's reasoning going on. Why? Number 8, verse 8, immediately. There's another immediately. We're in chapter 2, though. Now, catch this, guys. Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, he said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Why? So in other words, he tried to interrupt their reasoning. Why? Because he loved them. Why? He wanted to see them free. Why? Because he loved them. Why? Because he wanted to see them free. Why? For them as well. He wanted them to catch the miracle. He wanted them to see. He wanted that big cliff to come down. He says, stop it. Why? But he asked them why. So they would have an opportunity to respond to Jesus. Do you see? That's how much he loved them. He didn't just love the four guys who let this guy down on the pallet. He loved the scribes. But he said, why? Why are you reasoning? Get your mind out of the way, men and women. And I will show you. You can respond to me because I'm going to demonstrate me. Watch me. I'll demonstrate me. But I'm demonstrating the Father. And it will be powerful and strong. And you can respond. You want to see your little kids and grandkids do miracles for Jesus? They can. They can even now. Step out and let them. Encourage them. But let them see you do it. Let them see. Let them see. Be bold. Be strong. And they will emulate you. They will want to be like you. Yeah. So, verse 11. I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. And he got up and immediately picked up the pallet, went out in the sight of everyone, so that they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Do you want to see your family member set free? Do you want to see someone say, I've never seen anything like this? Do you want that? How badly do you want that? What price are you and I willing to pay in the presence of God? You know, maybe we've done things a certain way for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is. And the Lord says, now it's going to be different. Are you ready for something different? Now it's time. Now demonstrate. Now speak. Now, now, now. Listen for the now and move in it. Honestly, listen for the voice. You can hear the Spirit of God now. These pastors last night and leaders said, can we get together after Brazil? I hear more about how you hear the voice of the Lord. These are people I highly respect. But that humility is like, me? Hearing the voice of the Lord? Like we all do, right? So it's like, I don't know. In other words, let's talk testimony. Let's talk with Jesus. Let's hear the voice of the Lord. Let's listen. What's he saying? He's speaking. Respond. Thank you, Holy One. You're so good. We've never seen anything like this. And he went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to him, and he was teaching them. Okay, here we go. Verse 14, Levi. He says, come here, follow me. All right, here's another one. Jesus goes on. We see the process go right down the scriptures. And he ends a question and answer time, saying, no one, verse 22, puts wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and the skins as well. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus continued on, halfway through Mark chapter 2, and he was talking about the question about who heals on the Sabbath and how do you do this, you know, Jesus had this guy with a withered hand stretch his hand out and heals him and just defies all the religion. God is calling you and me to defy religious behavior. He's calling us to defy religious thought. He's calling us to be so removed from anything that is religious that we'll be able to see when something truly is. In other words, we can't minister in an area if we are carrying religion ourselves. Right? Well, the Lord says, I want you to think my thoughts. I want your will. Mm-hmm. Religion is man's way, calling it the Holy Spirit now, calling it God, calling it something else, usually. The Lord says, put that before me. And not just say, oh, I don't want to be religious. You know, I really want to do this. And the Lord says, you know, you're really carrying fear and it's manifesting in control. So just take a look and let me get this out of you so that you're really operating in peace. How about that? Oh, but why? How? We know the why. The how is intimacy. The how is repentance. Repentance, come to the Lord, lay down, continue to do this. Be quick to repent. If we say, Lord, I want to be seen in heaven as one who is quick to repent, quick to say, oh man, you're showing me, I didn't see it. You showed me through the word. You showed up. I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to dig that hole in the roof and I'm going to let down that guy on the pallet because I believe. Okay? Anything that's less than that is unbelief and it will eat our lunch. And we're getting into a place where nothing can exist from the past. The Lord's saying, we got to be free. From everything in the past, we've got to be free so that this present is filled with fire and not just play games with it. Say, well, I know I didn't want this to happen, but here we are. The Lord's saying, get tired of that and start laying down and I will bring you to a place where you will be and continue to be a fiery one, a burning one. That's what he says. Okay, so to finish this up, when he chooses, when he heals on the Sabbath, this is so great. Verse 13, he says, he went up to the mountain and summoned those who he himself wanted. They came to him who he himself wanted. Let me say it again. And he went up to the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted, and they came to him. You're chosen ones, guys, you and I. We're a holy priesthood, a royal generation. And he appointed 12 so they would be with him. And he could send them, be with him and send them. We don't want to send out if people aren't with him. We don't want that. We want union, strong union, fiery union, willingness to do the impossible. Whatever it would be, that we'd say yes and not rationalize anything. And he says, 15, and to have authority to cast out demons. Very important. He appointed the 12 so they would be with him and he could send them out to preach. We're going to end with a song that I've asked the guys to find. I'm not sure if it's audio or it's video. I want you to listen carefully. And we're going to finish with Jesus' last words in 24 through 35. Let's look at that, verses 24 through 35. How could Satan cast out Satan? Come on. If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom can't stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished. And no one can enter the strong man's house, verse 27, and plunder his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Circle that in your Bible if it's your Bible. And think on that. I'm not going to preach on it right now because of the hour. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, shall be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Whoa. He has an unclean spirit. 31, his mothers and his brothers arrived. Jesus' mother, Jesus' brothers arrived. These are his mothers, these are his brothers. Let me say it again. These are his mother and brothers. And standing outside, they sent word to him, and they called. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said, "Behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you." And he said to them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" We will close on 34 and 35. Looking about at those who were sitting around him, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." Father, we're just asking you to show us the depth of the importance of your word in these three chapters that closes about speaking about your will. Father, that we come into divine union in deeper ways with Jesus through these words of God, through these words in the scripture, that he who does your will would be your mother, your brother, and your sister. Father, that your will shall be done in each one of our lives as we surrender wholeheartedly to you, to see with your spiritual eyes, as we gaze into your fiery eyes, so we can see your eyes and see how you see. We can hear what you say. We will think your thoughts because we've been with you. Fill us with your fire, God, as we turn away from anything unclean, that we will position ourselves to fully lay ourselves down moment by moment, day by day, no matter how long we've walked, and that this would be a new day with everything that has been said or done today for us. Let it be. Because you finish what you start, I will trust you with the promises. I believe. When I only see in part, I will prophesy your promise. I believe you, God. So we're going to just, is this a video or a song? I can't, I'm sorry? Okay, let's turn the lights off and show it then. Thank you. So let's partner with what Jesus is saying to each one of us and declare to him as we close with these verses and the video. This is from the Torworks, Katie and what's his name? Yeah, Brian. And we just really want to resonate with what they're saying about the promises of God for us. Way beyond what we've said yes to. We think we've said yes and, whew, it's the best I can do. You're right, but it's not the best of Jesus. He's saying there's more, and it's not striving. It's hunger intensifying. So jump in here. Resonate with whatever the Lord's speaking to your heart. And I want to encourage you with these words that this season, if your focus is on this, that's not the best place for your focus. It's good to say, yes, that's who I am, and that's where I'll be. And I believe this is true. But my focus, Jesus, as you're reminding me to step in belief, is on you. When we sang today and we worshiped Jesus and we spoke to Jesus and we exalted Jesus, and when his name was profoundly adored and we lifted our hearts to Jesus, that's where the anointing came and was strongly present here in this body. So may I encourage you, even in your Christmas carols and things like that between now and Christmas, that you can remember that fear and shame will not control you, and that you believe Jesus. But focus and listen, read about who the King is. As I went through in Scripture as quickly as possible for three chapters, not doing it justice, really. And that's what I would encourage, because if you go this direction and stay there, you'll maybe feel a little better, but you will not experience the connection with Jesus to the point, I believe, that you can, as you remember those four men who said, I'm going to connect with him no matter what, and I'm going to lower that pallet right through the roof. And the authority of Jesus was so profound that he recognized the faith that was not governed by complete and total fear, maybe some, maybe shame, but they pressed through. That's the point of this song. Okay? So, Father, today, we just thank you, Lord, that you are here and you've shown up in a remarkable way, God. Jesus, you are so on the throne of our lives. You want us to see what's important to you. You want us to hear what's really on your heart in every situation. You want us to know what's going on and what the next step will be. And in that process, Lord, these incredible strongholds we see in people and maybe some in ourselves, Father, will come tumbling down as we demonstrate who you are to you, to others, as we hold fast to our confession of faith. Let it be. Let everything that was received today, Lord Jesus, in everyone's heart, just resonate with the roar of heaven, because you are our King. You are the owner of this universe. You are in charge. You are everything. There is nothing you can't do. This is who you tell us that you are, and you've shown to be true. Let us move with confidence and grace through the empowerment that you give us to say yes and amen, to allow you to manifest the change in our life as we receive you, we spend more time with you, and we minister to others in that order. Thank you, Lord. Let it be. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you all. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be encouraged today. Amen. Amen. And may I say, in the year, in this season of spending great amounts of money, remember the Lord will bless you as you take care of your responsibility in faith with finances. That just is coming up. It's not on a plan for me. So step out and tithe if you don't. Step out and continue to bless others through the addition to that tithe. Do it, because the enemy is looking for those who don't. I don't want you to be hurt. God bless you all. Amen.